Welcome, my friends, to the Kalamazoo Public School Hour. The housing shortage in Kalamazoo is a tragic reality. It's been with us since the war. But then, as you know, there's another shortage. It's a shortage of school buildings. You see, the veterans in Kalamazoo are faced with two questions. Where will my family live, and where will my children be educated? Now today we'll discuss the second question, the crisis in the Kalamazoo school buildings. And as guests in our studio, we have Dr. Lloyd Norix, the superintendent of schools in Kalamazoo, and Mr. Russell Doney, who is the director of research in the Kalamazoo Public Schools. Well, now welcome to this program today, gentlemen. We invite your participation in the discussion of this question. Now, Mr. Doney, maybe you'd like to lead out and tell us just how widespread is the school building crisis today?
Mr. Heathcote, I believe I can best answer your question regarding how widespread is the school building crisis today by quoting from Dr. Arthur Mailman of the University of Michigan, who is considered an authority on school buildings.
I wonder what Dr. Mailman might have said.
Well, Dr. Mailman recently said in discussing school building needs in Michigan, and I quote, "As a result of the various communities in Michigan failing to build schools during the Depression and war years, there is a catch-up demand for public elementary and secondary schools in the state during the next 10 years, which should be more than $20 million a year." Dr. Mailman stated that these facts had been established beyond question of doubt by extensive surveys made by the Department of Public Instruction, the Michigan Public Education Study Commission, and the Michigan Education Association.
Well, surely we'll agree that Dr. Mailman's statements here are quite startling. Well, now, both of you gentlemen, Mr. Doney and Dr. Norix, are veterans of the First World War. Do you see any parallel between the school building crisis today and the conditions that followed the First World War? Can you remember that, Dr. Norix?
Well, Mr. Heathcote, the evidence indicates that conditions after World War II in regard to the housing of school children, both locally and throughout the nation, are even worse than they were following World War I. In the first place, the length of the period when there was little or no schoolhouse construction has this time been much longer than it was at the conclusion of World War I. That's true in Kalamazoo as well. In the second place, the increased birth rate is much greater at this time than after World War I. Kalamazoo County had about six times as many persons involved in this war over a much greater length of time than in World War I. This pyramids marriages, which would normally have occurred during the war, into two or three years following the war. These delayed marriages, added to the normal marriages that take place every year, have brought about a greatly increased birth rate. Last year, it was reported to be the highest on record in this country.
Well, then, there is quite a parallel, excepting that today the conditions are much more intensified than they were at that time. But let's again look back to after the First World War, when a crisis existed in this city. How did Kalamazoo go about to meet the school building crisis at that time? Mr. Doney, you came to our city about that time. Perhaps you could tell us.
Well, the school system in the 1920s, following World War I, began to wrestle with their building problems by building new elementary schools in the new residential areas and adding addition to other buildings where it was advisable.
Well, now, just a minute. Where were these new residential areas 25 years ago?
New residential areas were Parkwood, Hillcrest, West Main, Ann Wilson, school districts.
Oh, yes.
Now, the electorate, Mr. Heathcote, at that time, however, in parts of our city, became concerned about their own particular needs, and not realizing the importance of a well-planned, overall building program for our schools, forced additions to be built by petitions and voting into being earmarked bonding issues for addition to school buildings which were not well planned. The results being that the buildings for our junior high school grades were not constructed.
Well, now you mention this type, perhaps, of log rolling, building additions on buildings where perhaps they were not quite needed. I wonder if you could list for us some of these schools that received additions at that time.
Well, during the period of school building construction between 1920 and 1930, the following school buildings, the building program was carried out. Addition at Vines School in 1920. The Parkwood School in 1921 and in 1930. Woodward Elementary in 1921. Lincoln School in 1922. Washington Elementary in 1923. Additions to Central High School in 1922, 1923, and 1924. Addition to Edison in 1923. A gymnasium and two classrooms at the Washington Junior High School in 1921. Harding School in 1926. Addition to McKinley School in 1924. West Main School in 1926. Addition to the Westmead School in 1926. Wilson School in 1928. Woodward Elementary in 1930. Alterations to the old Lovell Street School for an administration building in 1925. And finally, partial demolition and alteration to the Woodward Junior High School in 1929.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Doney, for that review. Certainly there was an epidemic of building schools at that time. Included the elementary schools and included Central High School. But I have a question here. Did this building program nearly 25 years ago provide adequate school buildings for these early adolescent boys and girls? I have in mind now the children who are in grade 7 and 8 and 9. Dr. Norris, would you answer that?
Yes, I'd be glad to supplement what Mr. Doney has just said by saying that the housing for the junior high school in Kalamazoo has never received the attention which has been received for the elementary grades and for the senior high school. When new elementary schools were erected at Washington and Woodward schools, for example, the junior high pupils were placed in the old elementary buildings. At Vine and Roosevelt schools, the junior high children are housed in the same buildings with the elementary children. Lincoln is the only junior high school we have, which was constructed to be used as a junior high school. But even there, the children are in the same building with the elementary. It is highly recommended that junior high school pupils be housed separately from the elementary and from the senior high students, and that they be housed in buildings planned for junior high program.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Heathcote, may I make a comment here regarding that question?
Mr. Donnie.
You see from what Dr. Norris has said that it appears that the junior high school grades are not too well cared for at the present time. There are approximately 2,000 children in our junior high school grades. We have 5 junior high schools. That is an average enrollment for a junior high school of 400. This is too small an enrollment for a junior high school to be able to offer the varied program that adolescent boys and girls should have in school. I have made the statement many times before, and I wish to make it again, that practically all of our school programs in our junior high school grades must be adjusted to the housing condition or to small enrollments.
Well, that, I think, is quite true, but it's a point that we often forget. I'd like to revert again, Mr. Donnie, to this list of additions that were built to the elementary and central high school. I referred to it as an epidemic of building. Apparently, there was quite a cost to this building program. Do you know about what they spent at that time for these additions?
Well, as nearly as we have been able to ascertain from the records, the amount of money spent in the building program in the 1920s was somewhere between $3.5 and $4 million.
Now, that was back in the days when a dollar would buy 100 cents worth of produce, huh?
That's right. The dollar today required $2 for $1 in 1920 today.
And were we to do something like that at the present time, we'd have to figure on $7 or $8 million of dollars to do that same amount of work. Well, now let's note how the people 25 years ago financed this building program. I think it was done by bonds. And, of course, that means some interest. Do you believe, Dr. Norix, that bonding is an economical type of financing? And would this plan be followed today?
It must be remembered, Mr. Heathcote, that whether you use the pay-as-you-go plan or whether you use the bonding plan in paying for schoolhouse construction, each must be paid for now within 5 years, according to the present requirement in our Constitution. No longer can we pay for school buildings over a period of 20 to 30 years, as was true prior to 1932. The cheaper plan for paying for schoolhouse construction is the use of the special tax and a sinking fund. Under this plan, you collect the money through a tax, and it is possible to invest the funds and collect an interest rather than having to pay interest.
Well, thank you for that. Now, Dr. Norix, you did pretty well on that question. Shall we move on to another one here? Coming back to our city, this school building crisis, what do you consider to be the immediate school building needs? The needs today?
The things which are on our must list before September 1948, and those are with us now, include these. One, the selection of a site for the Southside Junior High School and the letting of the contract for that construction. If this building isn't underway so that it can be completed by about 1950, then we face further building construction to take care of elementary children in Edison, Washington, McKinley, and perhaps in Parkwood, South Westridge, Hillcrest, and Vine. This new junior high would give us enough flexibility so that we could prevent construction at these other schools. Other immediate needs include changes before next September at Edison, Brucker, Roosevelt, West Main, McKinley, and Woodward.
Then from this, certainly there is a direct parallel between the conditions before the First World War and these conditions today. What do you consider to be the life expectancy of a school building?
I would say, Mr. Heathcote, that a school building could be used from 40 to 50 years. There are two reasons for my answer. First, the building will stand up under the hard use it receives about that length of time. Secondly, it is difficult to plan a building adequately for a longer period of time.
And at that rate, with about 25 buildings to do a good job, we ought then to be building a new building about every 2 years.
Correct.
But no buildings have been built for nearly 20 years. And in the meanwhile, the buildings have grown almost obsolete. A war has been fought. The vets have returned and been married. The babies are coming to town. Where will they be educated? The school building crisis is the major problem that faces Kalamazoo today.